Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to episode 4 of Read Me a Nightmare. I'm Angelique Fons, your host, and do we ever have a creepy treat for you today? Sam's best friend is a succubus, and she's hungry. The story Personal Demons was first printed in the anthology Strange Girls, Women in Horror, published by Azura Knox and written by yours truly. Personal Demons is read for you by Lauren Silver. Now, she's one of Peel Region's most beloved elementary school teachers. She's also the famous feet in the Beverly Hills 90210 launch commercials. And, of course, she's also my younger sister. I'm sure you're going to agree with me that she has a fabulous voice. Before we begin, today's podcast was sponsored by the author Eve S. Evans and her special brand of scary stories.
Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever had something happen to you that you just cannot explain? Do you binge ghost hunting shows just to get the adrenaline rush of a good scare? If you delight in the paranormal and creepy real ghostly hauntings, be sure to grab yourself a copy of one of Eve S. Evans' books today. 50 terrifying ghost stories, chilling ghost stories, and real ghost stories, to name a few. Available on Amazon.
Now let's get to the story, Personal Demons, written by Angelique Fons and read for you by Lauren Silver.
The locker was dark and smelt of old sandwiches and foot odor. Sam was small and easy to shove into the coffin-shaped cubby.
Hey, no!
Tears tracked over chubby cheeks as Sam tried not to hyperventilate. Was the locker airtight? Was there an oxygen issue and she was going to die in here? High school can be cruel, especially when you are a non-binary student on the day your English teacher outs you. Mrs. Wilson had given Sam's essay an A+, and read it aloud to the class, exclaiming on what a wonderful teaching tool it was for fostering acceptance and awareness. Boston was supposed to be an enlightened, educated city, but teenagers were basically the same everywhere. Teachers could be so stupid. Sam had written the essay on how they identified as both male and female. It was a deeply personal piece on the struggles of growing up, not feeling either female or male, but always sensing both genders at all times. This was why Sam wanted to be referred to as them or they, and not he or she. Born with female genitalia, initially, Sam considered transitioning surgically, but felt very conflicted. They didn't feel all male, but felt both the yin and yang, so they decided to accept themselves as they were. It was the final year of high school, and time to stop pretending. Too bad their classmates weren't as accepting. "What are you, Sam? A boy or a girl? You gotta be one, Sam. Which is it?" Jeremy, the school alpha male, taunted. He had cornered them after English by their locker, a group of five behind him. Jeremy was a tall, physically imposing senior with dark skin and super white teeth. Those teeth looked like the mouth of Jaws to Sam as his gang got up into their face. "She's got short hair like a boy, and she dresses like a boy, but she's definitely a girl," his sidekick Caden sneered. Jeremy's girlfriend Ling said, "You could be so pretty, you know? You should let me do your hair and makeup. Maybe some fashion advice. We teach you to look like a girl. Maybe you feel like a girl," she said, with a hand on hip bouncing obnoxiously. Sam whispered, "I have the right to choose, and you should respect my choice. Just leave me alone." "Who chooses to be weird? You are either one or the other, not both," Donna added. Donna was your prototypical blonde cheerleader and BFF with Ling. Donald rounded out the group, and he was the worst of them all. A fat, red-headed boy with greasy skin. He was popular only because he loved to fight and was a surprisingly good athlete. "Looks like you should have stayed in the closet, Sam," he said. "Let me put you back there." Before Sam could react, he wrapped his meaty arms around them and shoved them into an empty locker. The metal door slammed shut, and Sam sat scrunched in shock, trying not to cry. The tears came anyway. At least they hadn't cried in front of the bullies. A sudden burst of light made Sam gasp and cover their eyes.
I thought I heard someone in here. Hi, I'm Lilith, and I'm new to the school. Do most kids hang out actually in their lockers?
The most beautiful woman Sam had ever seen was offering them a hand. Sam grabbed it and got a good look at the rescuer. Lilith was almost a double the height of Sam and impossibly slender. She had a full afro of black hair framing an exquisite face with high cheekbones, slanted brown eyes, and a cupid's bow mouth. Sam fell immediately in love.
I heard about your essay in the hall. The whole school is talking about it. I admire you. Talk about brave and honest. You're not the only one who feels different, you know. We are going to be fast friends.
Lilith put an arm around Sam and escorted them down the hall. Groups of students became quiet as they walked by, staring at the odd twosome. But Sam didn't care. They had a new best friend. The new kid and the non-binary person became inseparable. A couple weeks later, Lilith suggested going to a football party hosted by Jeremy. Apparently, he had the hots for her and dumped Ling a few days ago. Who wouldn't have the hots for Lilith? Sam thought to themselves. Out loud, I don't know, Lilith. All the school bullies will be there.
You'll be fine with me. Plus, I feel like I have to go. It's been a while,
Lilith said, licking her lips. It's been a while for what?
Since I've been with a hot young man. A girl's got needs, Lilith laughed. Drunk parties are the best. You can hook up, get what you want, no attachment afterwards.
What? You're talking like a dude. I thought only guys were into unconditional sex. I was sort of hoping you liked women. I am definitely more attracted to women, Sam said, disappointed. They had hoped their friendship might evolve.
Nope, being a lesbian doesn't suit me. So, will you go with me Friday night?
Lilith asked. Sam nodded. They would do anything for Lilith. Sam told her parents they were sleeping over at Lilith's, and the friends showed up outside the McMansion in West Roxbury around 11 p.m. It sat on a huge lot, and big lamps lit the path to the front door. Music could be heard faintly, and a few kids were sitting out on the lawn with red Solo cups. They went into the house, and Sam felt a little panicky at first, in the crush of drinking, dancing, and shouting. The smell of spilled beer lingered in the air, and music pulsed from a high-end stereo system. There must have been 50 kids, with not an adult to be seen. Jeremy came up to them and put a beer in each of their hands. Lilith took a big swig and grinned at Sam. They just held their beer awkwardly. Sam hated the taste of the stuff. Lilith leaned down and whispered into Jeremy's ear, and he bobbed his head enthusiastically, heading for the stairs.
I'm going up to the bedroom with Jeremy, but I won't be long.
Lilith shouted at Sam. Are you going to be okay? Sam felt a blast of irritation, but nodded anyways. What were they going to do? Grab onto her leg and beg her not to leave them alone? It wasn't a short time. Sam watched the football guys play beer pong on the kitchen counter and kept an eye on the clock. Hey, it's the he-she who doesn't know what they want to be, Donald chortled when he noticed her. But then keg beer splashed up into his face from a ping pong ball, scoring a direct hit, and he went back to the game. Sam noticed 20 minutes gone by, so they decided to make sure Lilith was okay. Pushing through the throngs of now very inebriated kids, they went up the stairs. Lilith, are you okay? Lilith, Sam shouted over the music, but Drake's latest single was drowning them out. They pushed open the closest door. It was full of jackets and bags on a bed. Two guys sat on the floor taking turns with a hash pipe. Sorry for disturbing, Sam muttered, not even sure they were noticed. The next door was more successful. Lilith was sitting fully clothed on the side of a queen bed, a naked Jeremy laying on the covers beside her. He was passed out, his normally dark skin pale, his burly chest deflated. Lilith had a satisfied smile on her face. In contrast to Jeremy, Lilith looked impossibly gorgeous and healthy. Her skin glowed, and pink roses blossomed on her cheeks. "What's going on here?" Sam asked, looking with concern at Jeremy.
"Oh, I forgot to tell you. I'm a succubus."
"What? A succubus? Like a demon?" Sam asked hysterically. A low laugh trilled out of Lilith.
"Yes, my dear friend, but you are safe. I only feed off men. I told you we were both different."
"Non-binary is not in the same category as being a soul-sucking demon," Sam said, taking a few steps back.
"I only feed when I absolutely have to, my beautiful friend. Jeremy will be okay. He'll just feel weak for a couple of days and then shake it off. He kind of deserves it for leading that lynching mob that tossed you in the locker."
Lilith gently enfolded Sam in a hug.
"Never let anyone take your power. You can take theirs, but never let anyone steal from you."
Sam felt warmth and energy as those beautiful long arms wrapped around them. Who was she kidding? Succubus or not, Sam loved Lilith, and she was their only true friend. Now that Sam knew Lilith's secret, life got more exciting. Lilith persuaded Sam to get a fake ID from this guy she knew, and they started going to clubs on weekends. There were always bars in Boston that didn't look too closely at their patrons' age, as long as the money flowed. Some nights, Sam went home by themselves when Lilith picked up a man. While Sam struggled with dark circles under the eyes and teenage acne, Lilith seemed to grow more gorgeous by the day. Her exotic height and beautiful body turned heads everywhere. Sam just enjoyed being in her aura. The days and nights seemed to fly by, and before they knew it, they had both graduated high school. Rather than go directly to college, the friends decided to head to the coast. Cape Cod was beautiful in the summer, and Sam loved the well-kept cottages and sandy beaches. They took a short-term lease on a small cottage in Mashpee, and both worked as maids at a tourist resort. Lilith continued her nocturnal conquests, never sleeping with the same man for more than a night. Sam focused on trying to choose a college for the fall. They went on a few dates with a couple local women, but didn't hit it off with anyone. Besides, they were still secretly in love with Lilith, knowing full well having a crush on a succubus could never end well. Before they knew it, November rolled around and the weather was about to turn. Mashpee was lovely in the summer, but the Cape was known for harsh winter weather. Lilith and Sam decided to head to South Carolina. Sam wanted to check out the College of Charleston, and Lilith was looking for fresh hunting grounds. They started the journey in sunny weather and high spirits, but after about 7 hours on the road, the weather turned. Sam was driving and the skies opened up, pummeling them with icy rain. Sam tried to keep the car on the road by readjusting the steering every time they heard the rumble strips vibrate the tires. It was early evening and visibly almost nil. Lilith had her head on the window, peering into the inky blackness. The rain was creating a cacophony as it bounced off the hood in waves.
"Hey, did you see that by the side of the road?"
Lilith said, grabbing her friend's arm. "What?" Sam shook her off in annoyance. They needed to focus to keep them out of the ditch.
"Someone hitchhiking. Let's pick them up."
Lilith started whacking on the dashboard in excitement. Picking up a hitchhiker is not a good...
No!
Sam started counter-steering as the car hydroplaned on the highway. Lilith screamed, pressing her hands against the ceiling as they fishtailed wildly. Sam counter-steered into every skid and slowly let the old sedan slow down. Regaining control, they pulled over to the side of the road. Lilith was digging her nails into the upholstery.
"Oh my God, I thought I was going to die. That was insane,"
she giggled. "Can you die?" Sam asked, starting to laugh a little themselves.
"Yes, Google says the only way to kill a succubus is by trapping her in a mirror, but being impaled is hard. In a car accident would also do it."
Lilith's giggle turned into a full belly laugh. "You have some seriously dark humor," Sam said in shock. Lilith's laughter was contagious, and Sam started chortling themselves. Then they were both roaring. A sudden rap at the window. The laughter stopped immediately. Lilith and Sam jumped and grabbed hands as a dark face appeared at them, the night and the pouring rain obscuring his features.
"That must be the hitchhiker we passed," said Lilith.
"Well, what do we do?"
"Two choices. We either put the pedal to the metal and leave him in the pouring rain, or I roll down my window and see what he wants."
Lilith rubbed the condensation off her window to get a closer look at the face. "And if he has a gun or wants to kill us," Sam hissed, "now that I know you can die and all."
"It's not that easy to take out a succubus,"
Lilith said nonchalantly. Another gentle rap at the window, and a hand started waving through the glass. Lilith rolled down her window. A wet head leaned into the car. It belonged to a young man with a shaved skull and several fresh scratches. His gray jumpsuit clung to his muscular torso. "Wow, that was some stunt driver. Stop. Glad you pulled over," he said. Sam braced their foot on the gas pedal, ready to roar away if there was a weird vibe from him. The guy was really good-looking. Sam relaxed and saw Lilith go into flirt mode. The stranded highwayman had a very charming smile.
"No problem. What's a guy like you doing out on a night like this?"
Lilith asked, batting her eyelashes.
"Not the best night for a stroll, is it? I have some family down in Florida, and I was going to try to visit them. Are you heading that way?"
He ran a hand over his head, taking icy rain out of his eyes.
"I don't know, Lilith,"
Sam murmured. But it was too late. Lilith unlocked the back door.
"Get in. This weather could drown cats and dogs alike."
She stretched over to the back seat to grab the handle and push the door open. The fellow slid in. He was dressed head to foot in a gray jumpsuit and wasn't carrying any bags or even a backpack. Alarm bells went off in Sam's brain. But he was already in the car, so they decided to play it very cool. Pulling away from the curb, Sam kept a close eye on him in the rearview mirror. He didn't appear to have any weapons on him. What does worry them is the standard issue outfit he's wearing. Was there a number on the back of it? Sam looked over at Lilith to see if she's noticed. They may have picked up an escaped convict. But she's draped over the back of the seat, flashing perfect teeth at the big man.
"So introduce yourself, stranger of the night. I'm Lilith."
She tilted her head at him seductively. "And our chauffeur here is Sam. I wish we had a towel to give you."
"I'm Diego. And you two are absolute lifesavers. Thank you once again for picking me up."
Sam strained to hear their conversation over the rain. One of them should ask him about his jailhouse jumpsuit. It was like their friend was a mind reader.
"So, why are you wearing felon fashion?"
Lilith asked. Sam listened intently to Diego's answer.
"There was an undocumented immigrant detention center about a mile or two from here. It is the single most horrific place you can imagine. They picked me up when I was surfing in Chesapeake Bay. So they made me swap my wetsuit for this. I got tired of waiting for Trump to deport me."
The smile dropped off Diego's face. Up ahead on the road, there were flashing lights. Barricades across the road, with the red and blue glow made blurry through the rain. "Uh-oh, do you think those lights up ahead are about you?" asked Sam.
"That seems like a lot of resources to waste on one guy from Mexico,"
Diego answered unhappily. "No matter what they're looking for, as soon as they see your outfit, I think you're going back to that center. Or someplace worse."
"Is it a crime to sneak out of a detention after sneaking into the country?"
Sam made a snap decision, turning off the headlights and wrenching the sedan off the road onto a little dirt path. Lilith screamed and Diego hit his head on the roof of the car as they careened down the uneven path. Bouncing and shuddering, Sam frantically tried to keep the car on the narrow lane. The sound of the branches whacking the car made it hard to concentrate. Sam took their foot off the gas and let the car slow to a crawl.
"What are you doing? Are you crazy?"
Lilith sputtered. "Well, either we save Diego or give him up. Maybe we can keep one guy out of Trump's clutches," Sam said.
"I'm not sure that was a wise decision for you, but thank you. You are what really makes America great again. Thank you so much,"
Diego said, the relief clear in his voice.
Further down the farm path, there was a big barn, partially fallen down. Sam drove slowly, keeping the lights off until they were at the wood and stone structure. All three of them agreed that it looked abandoned. One half of the barn seemed in fairly decent shape, but the back half had almost completely collapsed. "Wait here. Let me see if there's a safe place to hide the car," Diego said while sliding out of the door. He dissolved into the inky darkness and disappeared around the side of the barn. The rain finally seemed to be tapering off.
"Are you sure this was a good idea?"
Lilith asked when he was out of sight. "Are we criminals now? Some sort of harboring and assisting thing? Even demons don't do well in jail." "I wasn't thinking. I just reacted." "Here he comes," Sam said quickly. Diego gestured at them to follow him, and they drove down a slight hill around the side of the barn. He pushed open a wide door and Sam pulled the car in. It had a dirt floor strewn with old straw and half-fallen down wooden horse stalls along the wall. Getting out of the car, Sam popped the trunk and pulled some blankets out. "We can make up some beds and spend the night here. That roadblock will be gone by tomorrow morning, I hope. It was probably for a drug bust or something. Maybe it had nothing to do with Diego." Sam handed the blankets to both of them. Lilith pulled out a cooler that was pre-packed with soup, sandwiches, and drinks.
"At least we have some dinner. Let's eat and turn in. I'm sure everyone is exhausted,"
Lilith said, biting into a steak wrap. "I still can't believe you are doing this for me. Sandwiches and iced tea even. Who needs a fancy restaurant?" Diego picked out a tuna for himself. He ate the sandwich quickly and then stood up and pulled off his wet jumpsuit. He had a pair of boxers on underneath. Sam paused, opening a can of soup with the big Swiss Army knife they had always kept in their jeans. He was built, a few hours spent lifting weights. Lilith's eyes glittered as she also checked out his spectacular body. Tattoos of skulls, roses, and bits of prose decorated his skin. "Oh dear," Sam thought as she pulled her blanket to the other side of the barn. They recognized that look in Lilith's eye. It meant she had her sights set on her next victim. Sam hoped she wouldn't drain Diego too much. He would need his energy if he was actually being pursued. Sam felt an affinity for him. He was quite likable and kept flashing them kind little smiles. Sam felt a deep wave of exhaustion and cuddled into the blanket, falling into a coma-like sleep immediately. Sam woke up as the first rays of sun came through the dusty windows of the barn. Getting up from the blanket, they walked over to where Diego and Lilith had been cuddling.
"Lilith, what have you done?" Sam asked in dismay.
Diego was lying naked on his blanket, with his impressive physique looking shrunk and drained. His skin was ashen. Lilith sat beside him with a languorous smile on her face. She looked spectacular. Her skin blushed with vigor.
"Did you take too much?"
Lilith didn't answer.
"Is he going to be okay?" Sam pushed.
"I don't think so,"
Lilith said as she picked up one limp Diego hand and let it drop.
"I went a little too far this time. I think he's dead."
Lilith laughed and jumped to her feet. Sam stared at their friend, their beautiful, gorgeous friend, who never seemed to age a day. Lilith stared back, one eyebrow arched. Just sipping from her victims and leaving them alive was something Sam could live with. But murder? Sucking a man dry and leaving him for dead? Sam had an important decision to make. It might mean the difference between spending eternity in a fiery hell or meeting St. Peter at the pearly gates.
"So,"
Sam said slowly, walking toward Lilith, "can you teach me how to do that?" Lilith threw back her head and laughed.
"Demons are born, not made."
Sam took another step toward Lilith, then pulled out the Swiss Army knife in their pocket and plunged it into Lilith's heart. The succubus's eyes opened wide, and a stream of gooey purple blood stained her chest.
"Why, Sam?"
Lilith sputtered as she fell to the ground. Sam stepped back, wrinkling their nose at the odd smell coming from the dying demon. "You were right, Lilith. I should never let anyone take my power.
and I have the power of choice. Between good and evil, today I am going to choose good.
Thank you for listening to today's reading of Personal Demons. If you'd like to learn more about this story and how it made it to publication, you can read all about it in my anthology, The Story Behind the Stories, 12 Dark Tales and Their Publishers. Any more information on this episode you can find in our show notes at www.fawns.ca. Thanks for listening. Until next time, when we can read you another nightmare.